As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Good morning, good afternoon, whatever time of day it is that you are listening, folks. Thank you very, very much for listening. The day today is the 17th of May, year of our Lord, 2022. We are actually dropping this not immediately after the lottery, but
instant
it is the night
reaction
of the lottery.
Pod.
Yes. It concluded what? I mean, James had to get a story file. It's probably been about 2 hours since it happened. We've had some time to, it's marinated. We've been able to digest it. Now, last week, James, it was a heavy me pod. There was a lot of me talking today.
It's a heavy us.
Well, no, I just mean last week I felt like because it was a lot of me theories. But anyways.
No, today's going to be a heavy yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, yes. Yes, it is. Folks, your Detroit Pistons are picking fifth in the 2022 NBA draft. The only thing I want to say, James, before I give you the floor, I didn't even do the full intro. Did I say the welcome to the Bun and Cardigan show presented by The Athletic? I'm, of course, joined by the on-again, off-again man who wears a cardigan. James, I with the, did I say that? I don't
I think
so. I did say
you
that.
You said something like that.
Okay, anyways,
what was your gut? I know on this show we were bullshitting about the theory. I think I texted you. Did I text you five or six?
I think you said six and I said four.
Yeah. So meet us in the middle.
We didn't. So people who long-term listeners of the Bun and Cardigan show will remember a year ago when we were all like, doesn't it feel like we're going to get number one today? Magic wasn't there today. No pun intended, because it was. Shout out to Orlando. The Magic, it just didn't really feel like it was going to happen today. I did three tankathon spins, got 7-3 times, had a pit in my stomach, and then when it eventually came around. Now, I can't really help but feel like maybe we're a little bit to blame here. I feel like you and I were kind of the proponents of, like, of course you want a top pick. Of course you do. But you and I were kind of like, but don't get a top pick. And now that it actually happened that way, I do feel a little bit guilty, even though at the end of the day, Troy himself said it. I'll let you get into that in just a second. Mm-hmm. This is a super deep draft. There are a lot of guys in that, you know, 4 to 8 range that the Pistons can look at. So, James, your immediate gut reaction, give us the, you know, the couple guys that you think the Pistons are going to look at and sort of the sense that you got from what you heard from Troy tonight.
I mean, you guys who follow me at The Athletic, follow my writing and listen to us here, I think Keegan Murray is very much in play. I think Benedict Mathurin is very much in play. I think one of Ivy or Sharp, because I don't think both will go in the top four. That would be a surprise to me.
They're not going, no.
I mean, weird shit happens. And is there a world in which... So what's the order? The Magic?
Magic, Magic, OKC, Houston, Sacramento, us.
Is there... Well, I can't see Chet getting past Sam Presti in OKC.
Can't do that. Can't do it.
So, yeah, I mean, weird shit happens. But if I had to get... I think the wild card for me... And we're not going to talk about trading back. We'll talk about that at a later time, you trading the pick and all that stuff. Right now we're talking about the pick.
Okay.
I think it's going to be Murray or Ivy or Sharp or Mathurin. And my wild card, Jalen Duren.
Okay.
But I don't think they would take him at five.
Since this is a reaction pod, do you want a reaction?
To my reaction, yeah.
To the wild card?
Yeah.
If it's Jalen Duren, I walk.
You are wearing a Deer District. I made a joke when you got on the pods, like Pistons pick fifth and you throw on a Milwaukee shirt.
So here's the fun part about what you just said is all people just heard was a few bleeps, because that's going to get bleeped out. I just don't – we've done the Jalen Duren thing before. Yeah, I would say the hierarchy that I think people have in their heads right now, from the discourse that I've seen so far, the Shaden Sharp stuff, obviously. Dude, his pro day admittedly did look
– Fam, we're not doing this. This is like Rod posting player X against the player development guys. We're not doing
it. The only reason that I would push back a little bit
other video where – he's working out with some guy we have no idea who he is, and 100%. Everybody's hyping up that guy because it made,
100%. But here's the thing, is now that we have the order, now that we know the Pistons are picking fifth, I have to accept the reality that he might end up on my basketball team. And I said this before, I had nothing personally against Shaden Sharp. It was just like all of this hype was evidenced by things that I didn't quite understand. And the only reason that I cite the pro day as something interesting is because a majority of these guys, we can be like, we have immediate tape on them. I can pull a lot of this shit from March Madness. If they didn't make the tournament, I can pull it from February. If they played overseas, they played for the Ignite, whoever it is. Shaden Sharp, I can't look at that much. Mm-hmm. So any time that he's on camera, I kind of have to be a little bit, you know, overly analytical. And what I said the other day was the only reason that, and I can't believe we're already spending this much fucking time on him. The only thing about Shaden Sharp is, yeah, I'm confused by him and everybody is, but it seems like the tools that he does possess, he doesn't seem like the guy that I want to count out and that I want to bet the house against. Do you know what I mean?
What height is he listed at?
6'6".
All right. I'm going to tell you, I've been around these guys all day today.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't 6'6".
Oh, we got another Cade Cunningham situation on our hands?
I think he's closer to 6'4".
He's personally thick, though.
He wasn't that big to me. I was actually kind of surprised. You know who actually wasn't who looks bigger on TV than they do in person?
Who looks bigger on TV than they do in person? No way, it's Chet.
No, Chet's huge. His parents are tall.
Really?
His sister's tall. His sister's like 6'4". I saw her today, too. AJ Griffin.
Oh, sure.
Bigger on TV to me.
I want
to... Really quick. Fifth, Pistons are on the clock. These people are off the board. Chet, Paolo, Jabari, Sharp. Who do you want?
It's Keegan Murray. I want to ask you about that. No, I think he's the pick. When Troy said, the quote that Troy gave was like, because you asked a great question, James. Yep.
Thank you.
Which was, this was your exchange. You go ahead and tell it.
Are you talking about, like,
I'm sorry.
When I said, if the draft was tomorrow, I know you guys do a lot of prep work in this offseason and this time, but you guys do a lot of work leading up to this, probably more work. If the draft was tomorrow, would you feel confident with who you would get at 5? And he said, yes. He said, we're going to do our due diligence, but we could pick tomorrow and pick at 5 and be happy with who we got. And I asked him that specifically, obviously, because we learned what pick they got. But I don't know if that would have been the answer if they got 1. Or 2.
It couldn't have been. I wouldn't have believed him.
Because while I do think Chet is the clubhouse leader, I think it would have came down to Jabari and Chet at 1 and 2. Let's not spend a lot of time on 1 and 2 because now it's hypothetical. Listen, I'm not saying they're going to pick Keegan Murray. I'm not saying he's going to be, as you like to say, on your basketball team. But I've written it. There is interest there in Keegan Murray. I've been told by people that there are people who thought Benedict Mathurin was the best wing in this class, and that was when most people knew that Shaden Sharp would be in it. So when you hear me talk about these guys, it's not just like because I like them as basketball players. I do. I also like Shaden Sharp.
There's not an agenda.
It's not an agenda. I talk to people. This is my job. Like when I have conversations with people, these are names that come up, and I'm not saying that things don't change. I'm not saying that the way that this played out doesn't shift what can happen. I'm just saying from what I feel, I think Keegan Murray, one of Ivy or Sharp and Mathurin and dark horse Jalen Duren, I think one of those four will be on your basketball team, Nick, come June.
Which would be ideal. And I know you said you don't want to get into the trade back stuff. We don't have to do that now.
I do think we can talk about one thing I do want to talk about the trade thing is I do think Murray, if you take Murray and people can talk about it, they think he's good, but there's no, the ceiling's not there. I understand that. That's not what this is about. I do think if you take Murray, you can trade Jeremy if you choose to go that route.
Right. That's exactly what
I'm saying.
And get
another asset and get another young player or get a more proven player to play at the guard spot next to Cade or whatever.
Exactly. He's the replacement, right? And if you want to do the Portland thing and you're able to slide back to seven, I don't know, does Keegan Murray fall to seven in some weird – I don't know. But it's like whoever you want to get at five is probably going to be there at seven. Whoever you want at seven, like
I don't know about that, but it's possible. Yeah, it's possible.
But it's weird. Sam Vecenie came out immediately after the draft ended. I believe the line that he had was like it's really in the eye of the beholder this year. Like some guys are going to have a top 15 grade and some guys are going to be like top 40. You know what I mean? So – a lot of it was contingent on the order of the draft, and now that we actually have that, we can kind of start to flesh it out a little bit. So I know a lot of people are eyeing the Blazers' seventh pick, but again, we can get into that a different day. Also, let's just get ahead of this. We're not going to do the Ayton thing today, but I do have a million questions about that, and I'm very excited to get into that.
Next
episode, we will do our DeAndre Ayton stuff, and it will be we'll be back to our Tuesday episodes next week as well.
Well, technically, we did Tuesday today.
True.
Yeah.
I want to ask you this. So a year ago, when we sat here post lottery, I was probably the most excited I'd ever been in my life, and you had to bring.
Famous.
Well, you had to bring me and everybody else down to earth because if you remember correctly, you had to deliver the. We're not going to get back into that. My question is this. I think maybe people are kind of, I don't know if people are like upset, maybe a little bit bummed. Do you have any crippling news that you need to deliver right now, or are we cruising right now? We're good.
No, I don't have any crippling news. I think this should be the topic of conversation for the next month, even longer, because it's going to take a while to play out. Troy Weaver was brought here, and I wrote about it for my column. You can go read that on The Athletic. I wrote it right after the lottery. Mm-hmm. Troy Weaver was brought here for this exact moment, situation. Cade Cunningham. You said it last week, like you credit Troy for picking Cade because he could have picked Mobley, could have picked Green. I agree with that. But he'd been fine with it. Like those three guys smack you in the face. They are talented basketball players. We all saw that. If you know basketball, you know those three guys can play. Troy got Isaiah. I mean, people are going to be like, you're talking, what about Killian? What about this? You can go to his OKC days when everyone thought they reached for Russell Westbrook, when they reached for James Hart. Like, we can go down the list. He's the one that drafted Domantas Sabonis. Mm-hmm. Like, we can go down the list. We're just keeping it with Detroit.
Jeremy, too, right? I think he drafted Jeremy.
Jeremy was in, got drafted.
Oh, I'm sorry.
By
he was Philly. You're Philly. Yeah. That's right. You're right.
Finding Isaiah, finding Sadiq. This is my thing with Detroit, and I think we've talked about it here, and I try to talk about it on Twitter. This organization, it's not the fact that the reason this organization is in the situation they're in is because they just haven't drafted well, or they've given up on guys too soon. The teams that the Pistons are going to model their future after, the Raptors, the Nuggets,
Grizzlies,
the Grizzlies,
Spurs on their way.
these teams are successful because they got Pascal Siakam at 28. They got Fred VanVleet undrafted. They got OG Anunoby and outside the lottery. They got Desmond Bane.
Scotty Barnes.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about like non.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah. Sorry. Yeah. You find Scotty or Memphis. Who? Desmond Baines. You find Brandon Clarks. Denver. You find Jokic's again. Mm-hmm. Murray was seventh. Monty Morris was late first, early second, something like that. Getting good NBA players helps build a foundation for a good team. Mm-hmm. And you got the hard part done, you got Cade. Troy is here to make sure that these picks don't go wasted. And I think his track record in Detroit is small. We can even throw Isaiah Livers in there because I think many believe that he looks like an NBA player, even though it's way too soon to tell, but the early returns are good. This is... Pick five is why Troy is here.
Do you agree or disagree?
I 100% agree because it puts you in that spot of,
and
like,
I'm sorry, it's not the only reason he's here.
No.
But his ability to evaluate talent and find good players no matter what. I think if you ask Troy, look him in his face, and there's nobody around, would you rather draft one or five in this class? And I think, I'm just speculating, I think he is confident in his ability. I think he likes to show people I can find a guy at five.
Yeah.
I think so. Like, I would feel like that. Like, I want to show this is what I do. I mean, we'll play to 10. I'll give you 9. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. This is what I do.
Exactly. Like, you can have all the gimmies, take those off the board, and then once you really have to, because it's really at, like, I mean, obviously, once we already know who the top three are, and then that's in some order, it's chalk, and then four is the Ivy thing. I want to get to that in a second.
I think top four could be, like, there's a world where I could see Ivy jumping one of the forwards, but I think those four.
Sure. So let's go with that then. Yeah. Let's go with it then. Let's say the top four are chalk. That means the draft starts at five.
Yep.
Right. That's when you really need to actually hunker down and start to do your shit. Now, to be fair, it sounds like they've already done it extensively enough that they have a generally good idea. Mm-hmm. I think that the idea that, you know, we could draft a guy tomorrow and feel confident about it, I think it's easy for somebody like me who's been on the Keegan Murray train, been like, hey, that's probably the best player in the draft for, I don't know, like 2 months now. I don't want to speed past that and then people act like I said that and then didn't address it. I have said that before. People know how I
Nick
mean
believes
things.
Keegan Murray is the best player in the entire draft.
I do think that.
Yeah. I mean, I respect your willingness to say it.
I don't remember where I was going with that.
We were talking about Troy getting a chance.
So I don't know that it's so much about, like, that he knows for a fact that he's going to take Keegan Murray or he's going to take Benedict Mathurin. I think it's more so that, like, there are legitimately so many guys in that. There are, like, 7 or 8 guys that are theoretically fits for this team, and it's about, you know, whittling those down. And, I feel remarkably comfortable. I'm pretty happy. I mean, there is the part of you. So the Rip thing, here's the thing. Rip Hamilton.
Oh, speaking of, since you said it, I had a one-on-one with Rip right before he went into the lottery room. There will be a Q&A on The Athletic on Thursday morning, me and Rip. My favorite part from it, he told me Devin Booker signed the mask that Booker wore a year ago and sent it to him.
Do you want to know how I knew about that? My dad goes, did you see James's tweet about Devin Booker?
He just liked the tweet as you said that. Shout out to Todd.
Oh, did he really? Yeah, he's in the other room right now. You want me to go get him? No, I'm just kidding. I this is pretty much the most ideal situation that we possibly could have found ourselves in. I don't know about that, but
I know what you mean.
Well, for me personally, because now you don't have to be an agenda guy. I can be, and I have been doing the Keegan Murray thing, but I don't want it to come across as like, I understand that. Of course, you should want a top pick in every single draft. I will say the one thing that I was complaining about the most, both privately and publicly, James, I texted you about this 2 days ago, is how often I stress about future cap sheets. And how I texted James the other day and I was like, dude, we literally can't get the number one pick because we won't be able to afford this team. And he was like, relax, it's not that serious. And I actually did my homework here, James.
Yeah.
I'm gonna ask you a little question. The difference in money between the first pick and the fifth pick, how much do you think you are saving annually on that rookie contract?
Isn't it like the first pick? Cade makes $10 million a year. It changes, I think.
It changes and it's contingent. It's like a rough $3 million that you save between 1 and 5.
I was gonna say, it's like 10 to 7, right?
Yep. So overall, you by the end of that first contract, you're going to save about $10 million. So it's actually not as big of a disparity as I thought that it was, which then I was kind of like, oh, maybe I should have wanted the number one pick all along. And then I was like, well, I always did want the number one pick because I get that it's about you want to get the best player available. But here's the thing, man, and this is a Pistons podcast, but I was even talking to Laz about this because you guys said the exact same thing. You guys think Ivy's going to Sacramento. And I'm like, why? Because they literally just traded Tyrese Haliburton. So why would they go? Laz did. Oh. You did too.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
You said Ivy won't be there at 5.
I said Ivy or Sharp won't be. Like the math of it. the three big guys, and then either Ivy or Sharp is going.
Oh, okay. But, like, are we sure?
Yeah, who else would it be? You think Keegan?
Right, I don't know. Do they do something weird where they're like, I don't know.
Here's a question. What pick did Sacramento get? Four?
Four.
What if they took Keegan in front of Detroit? Would you hate Sacramento?
That would be the biggest fuck you from Monty McNair. So here, let's run down the timeline. 365 days, well, a year ago, Monty McNair calls Troy Weaver, and he's like, hey, you can have Marvin Bagley if you give us Sadiq Bey. Troy Weaver hangs up the phone. Fast forward to 2 months ago, Troy Weaver gets Marvin Bagley for a fucking bag of basketballs. Monty McNair's punching the air. He's sliding down the wall, crying. And then he goes on national television and takes the guy that we wanted to pick right before us.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. I'm not going to lie. Funny. I'd be like, that'd be a pretty good checkmate. But then Troy would just have to go like thermonuclear.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
So, okay. Yeah, I think that's pretty much all my questions about the draft. I feel comfortable with our...
Do you have any questions about the... So I'm staying at the hotel. It's across from the arena that is connected to where they did the lottery. I'm basically mm-hmm. like... I just, on my way, on my elevator up here, I was in the elevator with Chet and Jaden, who were...
Oh,
wearing,
nice.
Like, it's everybody's here. Do you have any questions about the lottery experience?
Yeah, I mean, so it is something.
This was my first lottery.
I was going to say that.
I've been here for the combine, but never the lottery.
You are able, if you attend the combine, you have the option of like witnessing the actual lottery. You just have to give up your phone.
Great question. So yep. I don't know if people know this. The lottery is done. What you see on TV, that's just a show. An hour or 30 minutes before, they do the actual lottery in another room, and that's where assistant GM George David was. Rip was the TV show representative. George David was with the lawyers and the actual representatives in this room. Reporters can go in there if you request ahead of time. Zach Lowe was there. I got to see Zach. Chris Mannix. Mike Vorkunov from us was our representative in there. You get to go in the room, watch the lottery happen. However, you have to give them your phone and your computer, and you cannot leave that room. You're sequestered in that room until after the draft show. So I want to do it at some point in my career. The reason I didn't do it this time is because the Pistons had a good chance of picking one, and I just wanted to, I have work to do. I didn't want to tweet stuff out. I didn't want to miss that opportunity for the engagement. But like if it comes next year and they're say they're Cleveland of next year, where it's 14th, yeah. I'll be in that room.
Thank you for saying that. That actually reminds me. Quicker episode today just because it's a little bit later at night, ladies and gentlemen. So sorry about that. I want to get this point out. I was going to make it last week. I strategically wanted to wait until we actually had the lottery happen so we knew where we were picking. This would have come off a lot stronger and a lot better if we did actually get a better pick. But alas, I remain. So for a note for posterity, for those who command it, I have decided that the Detroit Pistons have exited phase one of the restoring. And I think we actually did touch on this a little bit last week, right? So you have the restoration. You have Blake's money off the books. You have three all rookie guys. You got the number one pick. The quote unquote hard parts out of the way. Is the T there that the real hard part is actually getting people to fit the other pieces of the puzzle? You know what I mean? Like Cade is all the corner pieces. He's the entire outline of the puzzle, and then you got to it's semantics.
Know what you mean. Cade is Cade, and anybody can play with Cade, but I do think they could use a Chris Middleton. And again, I know people might not see it. We talk about it with Isaiah Stewart, like why is everybody so ready to give up on him? Sadiq Bey could still be that.
That man's wearing 41. Yeah, he's what do you mean?
41. This is really quick about Isaiah Stewart. And we talk about all the time how people are like writing him off. Like, what, you know, he's like the youngest of all these young guys we talk about. Like, he's not even 21 yet. Like, what if he's not done growing?
He's not 21.
I think he's 20. I don't think he's turned 21 yet. He might have just turned 21. Hold on, let me look.
That's insane. No, I never knew that. I don't know. I if he's not done growing, I'd be, what is he, 6'9"? 6'9"?
Yeah. That'd be something to monitor. Like, that's going to be like the first thing I look at when we get back to camp. He is, yeah, he's 20. He doesn't turn, yeah, he's still 20. Just want to put that out there. Like, what if he's not done growing? All right. So you're not devastated? It's crazy how much Cade has simmered this fan base.
Dude, because we did it. We got that guy. We got the guy that, like, Luka was playing like Cade against the, like, when I was watching Luka, I was like, that's how Cade, I'm kidding, guys, right, I'm kidding. Okay,
say, don't do that. Don't do
the
that.
The face that James just made, I was like, okay, this one I can tell is not going to be received well. All right, but, no, but seriously, like, that's, I've said this before, we now have the general archetype of player that these teams have when they are as successful as they are. So, you already got the number one pick, you got the lucky part, so again, I don't want to keep, you know, hammering that point home, but yeah. The one thing, just about the phase two of the rebuild thing, right? This is where, you know, everybody starts to get a little bit older. You start to, you know, hang out a little bit more. You know, have a little team bonding trip to like Nojo Kicks. Maybe go to Lafayette or something like that, right? Maybe hit the Nike that's right off of Woodward Ave or whatever the hell that is. Is it on Woodward?
Yeah.
The Under Armour that's on the corner right there. Yep. I'm just naming stuff that's in there.
Yeah, if you're going to a team outing to the Under Armour store. You deserve to get cut.
You got to hit the Keymaster that's at the Nojo. But no, here's how you're going to know that the Pistons have exited phase two of the restoration is when they win 45 games. And then all bets are out, which I would say is in like 2 to 3 years. 3 years. 3 years, I can guarantee they're going to win 45 games. A year from now, I want 35, especially if you're getting DeAndre Ayton. But that's for another day. Maybe yeah, that's where we leave it, James.
And I would just say really quick, people might be upset that they – if people want to look for optimism, I usually don't provide the optimism on here, but I am today. Pistons. Ooh. If Pistons fans are upset about number five, think about this is why Troy was brought here. He's brought you some of your favorite players. You can go down the list of what he's done in other places. This is why he's here. Two, they could trade the pick and get a more proven player. Three, if they take a player of Jeremy's ilk at five, maybe you can turn that into another lottery pick or a proven player. There's options. And I think, and I've said it before, and I'll reiterate it one more time, the Pistons are in a better place today because they have options. For a long time, they did not have options, and when they did have options, they used them up quick.
Yeah.
The Pistons have options, and that's why you should be optimistic.
Roll into opening night after swindling number seven and Josh Hart as your – oh, my gosh. They better not throw in CJ Ellaby. All right, James. Last thing.
If they throw
in
CJ Ellaby, I don't know.
Birthday
twin.
I get a jersey.
They don't make
those.
It's
my turn.
They're not gonna make those.
No. Not a CJ Ellaby jersey. I just get a jersey. It's my turn.
Oh, I'll get you a jersey.
Yeah, like what I've been doing for you. I've got you two in the last 2 weeks because I keep making stupid ass bets.
All right, yeah,
so
I'll get you
for CJ Ellaby.
I'll get you a jersey if they trade for CJ Ellaby. But I guarantee you. If you ask for a CJ Ellaby jersey, I'll just have to customize it.
You got it. I don't actually want his. We will end on this. Again, apologies for the shorter episode today. I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers.
Really good album. Kendrick's artistry, ability to make albums is second to none. Not my favorite Kendrick album. I don't see myself listening it front to back very often. We Cry Together is maybe the greatest Kendrick song. The song with Silent Hill, Fire.
Mm.
There's some good songs on there. I see myself picking. I'm usually an album guy. Like most of Kendrick's stuff, I listen front to back. This album isn't that for me. A little too soft on the instrumentation. Not either jazzy enough or grimy enough. Like We Cry Together. Just shout out to Alchemist.
Yeah.
But he just continues to his writing. Somebody explained it to me. This is Kendrick's album. Especially with some of the stuff he was talking about with having daddy issues as an older gentleman, his aunt being
trans.
And then a bunch of other stuff. This was, somebody said this album was Kendrick at therapy, and we were hearing things we weren't supposed to hear.
Yeah.
100%. And I thought that was a perfect way to put it.
100%.
I thought it wasn't the most like lyrical miracle, but it was maybe his most deep album, it, personally.
Without going into all my things, the only thing I want to say, there was a pretty large conversation I heard about.
I liked
this
you
being,
parked in that.
Oh my god! The everything about the keys exchange is the funniest shit I've ever heard in my life. It's so good.
You mad at me?
A lot of people were saying that this is his best intro of all time. I would counter with Wesley's Theory.
Wesley's Theory is great. I would also, I think, Charaine.
Mm.
I got a fifth in the trunk like Curtis Jackson for ransom.
Better intros, Drake or Kendrick? I'm actually going to go Drake here. It's the one thing that he just bodies, man. He's so good with everything
after,
else. Kendrick,
after
but,
the
but
last
the intros,
album, that
man,
last album intro was hard. That's my favorite song on the album.
I've been hot since the birth of my son.
Ooh,
I love you, I love you, I love you. So good.
That shit's hard.
The intros is Drake, right?
Yeah.
Give him that. All right, cool. All right, ladies and gentlemen. If you made it this far, thank you very, very much for listening. If you listen to this on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate 5 stars, leave a review, subscribe. If you're feeling generous, we will catch you guys in the next one.
Peace.